This is Kate Harness with 307net Radio, and today I'm joined by Jerry Spearing. Hello, Jerry. How are you?
I'm great, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining me. Now, you caught my attention, I have to say, because you have been involved in a project or have taken upon yourself a project just looking at the issue of affordable housing here in Johnson County, but particularly in Buffalo. And that's obvious because that's where most of us live and most of us work in Johnson County. Jerry, some people may know you from, you ran for City Council a while back. And I think just to kind of clear things up, you are not part of the Spearing family that is known with land development and so on. You have a different background. Where did you come from and how long have you been here?
I was raised on a homestead in Powell on Heart Mountain, and for years we thought we were the only Spearings in the state, and then I went to university and ran into Jeff Spearing, and we spent an hour trying to figure out common roots, and we don't have any, and so I'm a different Spearing.
Okay, but nonetheless, you're here, and how long have you been in Johnson County, Jerry?
We've been here. We moved here in 2015.
Okay, so you've been here quite a while, and what caught your attention about this issue to do with affordable housing? I know that your fairly recent appointment to the Planning and Zoning Committee in Buffalo, in the city of Buffalo. But what caught your attention about this issue?
As a member of Planning and Zoning, we were tasked to, we are tasked to update the Buffalo Comprehensive Plan. And one of the issues in there that was discussed back in 2007 when it was put out, it was need for affordable housing. So I started asking around about affordable housing and realized that is a huge situation right now, and the comprehensive plan was only going to mention that it's a need, and that I felt like to get something going, you had to take some action.
Right. And so to be clear, it's because of your association with Planning and Zoning, but you are not acting as part of Planning and Zoning.
I am not. This is on my own.
Okay, so thank you. I think that to sort of go back, most people will recognize and be very aware that, you know, we have a housing issue here, especially in Buffalo. Not only has the price of houses gone up dramatically, which has quite literally priced some people out of the market, rental prices have equally gone up and can be very expensive now. But also, we don't have enough properties for people. And myself, as 307net Radio, I've sat in multiple meetings where different entities, whether it's been the school board or the Forest Service or healthcare centre or other groups, first responders, police, law enforcement, etc., or just restaurateurs, other business people in the community have said, I'd love to open more. I'm struggling to kind of make my business viable because I have people who want to work, but they can't afford to come and live here. And so we have this perfect storm of a problem where house prices are very high, rental prices are very high, there are not enough places for people to live, but we don't have a solution. And I believe that this is what you've been investigating.
Yes, definitely. And as I started asking early on in my interview with local realtors and contractors and businesses and banks and just every kind of thing you can imagine, with the new businesses coming and the things that are happening, affordable housing probably is defined, well, it's defined many, many ways, but $20 an hour, which surprisingly is not all that much, equates about $40,000 to $45,000 a year, and that is when you calculate home mortgage rates and ability to get a loan. That is a minimum $40,000 to $45,000 to be able to get a home loan, and of anything under $300,000. If you look around, there's no longer homes available under $300,000. There aren't any apartments for rent. Even if the rent's high, they're just not there. So it's just vacant. I mean, we're just out of stuff.
Yes, and the knock-on effect is that everything doesn't work quite right because there are not quite enough people. So, you know, you may be listening to this and, you know, you may be working in, you know, a larger organization or even a small one in our community, and you realize this because there are not quite enough staff and you're having to work at extra time, whether it's extra shift or, you know, a longer hour or whatever, or your business has to close, you know, earlier, or it's not open every day of the week and so on. So it's felt in multiple different ways. And that, of course, impacts how our whole community operates and serves ourselves. So when you say affordable housing, and you've identified, you know, kind of a rough hourly wage and an annual wage and so on, but what do you mean by affordable housing? Is that just little single person units? Is it for families? What are you actually describing?
Well, I'm trying to encompass a lot of different varieties, whether it be duplexes, apartment buildings, houses, mobile home parks, whatever kind of thing allows all income levels to establish or to get a home in those structures, to create a home. It may not be home ownership, which apartment rentals are not, obviously, and it may be renting duplexes, or it may be home ownership, but we're missing that bottom tier that allows a first time home buyers or workers, service workers, to enter into our community and get housing, and then as things progress, they can upgrade or whatever. That we don't have those facilities, so, or those homes, and so you can call it workforce housing, you can call it rent-controlled housing, including apartments, you can call it income-qualified housing, or low-cost homes that are under 300,000. We're just missing all of that.
And I suppose there could also be in that grouping starter homes for maybe young professionals who are beginning their career, maybe still going to school as well. They've got multiple overheads, and so, you know, they will maybe, you know, aspire to be able to kind of graduate up into, you know, a really wonderful, large, expensive home with a nice piece of property, but they're getting going and they can't afford to do that. And so really that's, you know, to get them out of mom and dad's basement, maybe even. So there's some multiple different people that you're thinking of here. And so what have you done? I think the traditional way of thinking about this is that there is a land developer who sees an opportunity, who sees that there is a community that's ready, you know, to provide homes, whether, as you say, they're rented or purchased, you know, for this sector of the workforce. And we think about encouraging them, and they just come and they build those homes and all is well. And I think, you know, to a certain extent, that's what happened up by Baumgars and the Harmony developments, at those apartments, etc., up there. But that is no longer as viable as it was because of the cost of materials. Building costs are variable and extremely high, and there are other things that have made developers less enthusiastic about that. So what have you found out? You've taken upon it, upon yourself, not only to talk to a number of people in our community, but you've also done a great deal of research looking outside of our community about how we could look at non-traditional ways of providing this kind of housing. What have you discovered?
I have talked with various communities around the state of Wyoming and in Montana, and found that it really takes encouragement to developers to develop projects that fit this need. And the encouragement is simple things like welcoming with open arms the developer. The developer, and making things easy for them to get to, you know, it needs to occur from the city and county officials and the local people, you know, wanting to say feeling wanted or feeling appreciated coming in. That seems simple, but that sometimes is missing. And then, because of the increased costs and everything, we have to encourage people or developers by making access to a piece of land easy, or giving a infrastructure, you know, providing infrastructure to the lot line, or helping with the services to, you know, make the whole project pencil out so that they can make, you know, some money. Not, and like one of them said, I'm not looking for extraordinary profit. I just want to, it's got to be profitable enough to do. And so they do projects, and then the other part that's interesting is they, and I learned, is they do the asset management. So they build the project, and then they stick around to run, like an apartment building, they run it and make sure that it's still rent affordable. And so that whole process has got to look promising to them, and that's where we need to find the help.
So this is a, you're talking about sort of a specific type of developer that already has skills and expertise in creating these kinds of these kinds of projects. And do they exist in Wyoming, or are we looking further afield?
There are locally. There's one group that has done a lot, and then there's a group out of Sheridan that's done a lot, and. And I've looked to feel that another group that has done a lot in Wyoming, and they already have 10 communities that already have their projects completed, they're doing more. So there's people out there doing that and that are interested in doing more.
So how come it hasn't happened? Because it's pretty clear that we need this. What do you think, from the conversations that you've been having, have been the barriers that have just prevented something rising up naturally, and what do we need to do to change that?
The barriers are the increased costs on land, I think, is one of the initial shocks when the developer comes to town, the price of land, which it isn't really a shock. They know all this stuff, but that's the initial...
It's prohibitive.
Yeah, that's the initial... red mark on the ledger sheet. And then you look at the cost of services, the cost of not so much services, but the cost of developing the infrastructure for the services. And like I was saying, the open arms thing about having the developer to, you know, be encouraged to come, all of those play a part in, especially if you're looking for a project, you know, as a developer, you go to where the easiest situation is. You know, if it becomes difficult to do anything, or you perceive difficulty compared to another community, go to another community.
So what would you recommend needs to be the next action steps? What are you looking to happen? I know that you've spoken to our county commissioners at a commissioner meeting, and last night you were at city council. What needs to happen to take this forward?
What I feel really needs to happen is, this is a big project. It's much bigger than I am. I can't pass city regulations or county things to get any of this happening. What really needs to happen is, and need to have the city and county officials, councilors and commissioners, to create a body, a group, action committee that is willing or is tasked with working through these details. This is not a, it's not a simple plan. It's a plan that can work and has a lot of details, but needs a lot more effort. But it doesn't cost the city, doesn't cost the county. They're not looking to get budget funds or any of that kind of thing. It's just a plan to what I like to refer to as a framework to encourage development. And, you know, services, land, all of that has to come through the city and county, and we need to have the city and county officials not only support it, but get behind it and create this action committee to get it done.
So you say it doesn't cost money. How does that put together when you're, at the same time, there's this notion that you incentivize and you encourage, but how does that cost no money?
In terms of assets, I have a little bit of definition problem there on my own, but there's no budget money. You don't have to give a developer money to come in. If you decide that a project, and each project would be managed or assessed at an outset of what's needed, but let's say a project, you decide you need to have service or infrastructure brought in, you make a deed restriction on that project that allows the city or county to recoup the money or go out for a length of time to when the city or county feel like that's appropriate. You know, like if it's a whole piece of land, maybe you only give them a 99-year lease. You know, if it's some services, maybe you say in 5-year deed restriction so that the property is maintained at whatever the definition of affordable is.
Okay.
So it has to be, you don't want, in fact, it's illegal for the city or county to give property to a private developer or services even. They can't give stuff away. So then you have an agency which, at this point in time, after this work, looks like it may be the Buffalo Housing Authority as an intermediary that takes the donated land services and creates the project and monitors the money and makes sure the deeds are right, and they actually become not the governing body, but the overseeing body that is governed by the city and county.
So you use the words Buffalo Housing Authority. Is that something that's already in existence?
Yes, they have. They currently do manage and have I think it's Clear Creek Apartments. They're the ones that are right next to Senior Center, and that's what they manage now. So that effort to have the Buffalo Housing Authority do that, their role would need, under this plan, would need to be expanded, and maybe the mission statement changed a bit to get that to all happen. That's all part of the plan that this, hopefully we get an action committee can say, here's what we need to do, and then you write up the governance so that the city and county can make it happen.
So you've been out and about and talked to a large number of people in all sorts of different sectors. Are you finding that there are different entities in the community that welcome this initiative? You know, are people experiencing and seeing, do they support this? What have you found when you've been talking to different
people? It's amazing. I have, and I've probably conducted 50 interviews so far. I've run into two and that are contrary, but out of the 50, far majority are very supportive. In fact, some of the ones that represent public entities or even corporations are willing to donate to this and donate funds, donate more than, true cash, which is pretty exciting. And so I'm looking to create with this action committee a well-constructed plan so that you can go to these companies and entities and say, here's how your donated money would be used, and have the structure to, give the confidence that it's going to happen like it said.
So what would be the actual work of the action committee for, say, the first 6 months to a year period? Because places don't get built overnight, and right. there's obviously quite a lot to do. What would the Action Committee be actually doing for a short period of time?
Well, and that truly is a short period. I look at the Action Committee as a temporary assignment that is done once the Buffalo Housing Authority or whatever agency is chosen to do that is well established in terms of all of the mission statements and personnel, and the board is constructed so that they're ready to roll, then the Action Committee's done. So in those intervening 6 months to a year, we need to continue the interviews to well establish the demand, because one of the things that some of the grants that people, that developers go for, they need a market need, a need analysis done. And that's costly. The other thing is the form, the working with the developers and the form that we need to present as a community, as a county, to get this going. Those need to be developed. Like one of the ideas in the plan is to create a developer's toolbox. And it's a simple matter in terms of this presentation. It's just on the website. It says, here are the things you need to consider. Welcome to our community. But consider these as you look to consider a development. And so there's those kind of things. And then one of the key things I think that the Action Committee or probably the Buffalo Housing Authority needs to do is hire a full-time grant writer. And a full-time grant writer is salary, right, or wages or whatever. It could be a third-party service, but it could also be shared. And a couple of the public entities that I talked to thought that was a great idea, and that once they're established and they're doing the work that we need, they could also do grant writing for other entities in this community.
So what you're saying is you have enough enthusiasm and willingness that those initial costs, whether it's to write some kind of needs assessment plan so that the grants or other funding can actually reach some eligible status, and or just grant writing and so on, that there are enough entities who would be prepared to do that, that it could be stood up and that cost would not actually be borne by, say, taxpayers right now.
Exactly. In fact, that's the way I've tried to construct this, is there's no taxpayer money, initially needed. But we have to have a plan and we have to have an action committee to get it coalesced into a well-constructed plan.
And so that's what you're looking for now, is for the city and county to give this some authority, stand up an action group or an action committee of some sort of appropriate individuals who represent the diversity of the community and who maybe have certain skills and expertise. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, so the next step, you've already been to the city council and the commission, is to put some pressure on them to see whether the city and the county will collaborate, get some buy-in, and this initiative can move forward.
Yes, and I hope that I've presented this to enough people, and I'm willing to present it to anybody else, but it creates enthusiasm and call-ins to the city and county to get going. And one thing I've learned is as you dig into this, there's more questions and more, but the need is urgent now, and we can't wait on, as one person suggested, well, let's get some legislative funding. Getting the legislature to do anything short term is impossible. So to get something going, we need to pressure the city and county to create this action committee and to get to get real things moving.
And anecdotally, I will add to that that, you know, I sit in many meetings, and on numerous occasions do I hear an entity say, we have somebody, they really want to come and they really want to fill this job and they'd be ideal. We're worried about them being able to find a place to live. Or even worse, we lost somebody like that because they couldn't find a place to live, but they would have been ideal for our position. And so we're losing out if we don't act fast. And it's in fundamental services. It's first responders, healthcare workers, law enforcement, as well as, you know, all those other entities that keep a town vibrant and working. What do you say to people who say, "Oh, we don't need any more growth. We're just fine. We're just fine"? Have you encountered that opinion?
I haven't countered it completely because they recognize that we're short of staff in the crucial areas, like I said. But what I have encountered is people saying, "Oh, private industry will take care of it." And one of the most raised my eyebrows to was, "Well, when that business comes to town, they'll just pay more so that they can get the employees and they can have housing." And I would ask them, I said, "Well, what about all the places that you steal the employees from?" "Well, it'll work out. It'll sort itself out." I don't believe that's the case.
Well, I think that there are many employers in town who would argue that that is not sorting itself out, and that just throwing, not every entity can afford to throw more money at it, because when you start to employ new people at a higher rate than your existing people, you're creating difficulties in your workforce anyway. But also, sometimes the money just isn't there.
Exactly.
For it to go around. So that may be not always the answer. We like to look to private business, but sometimes private business cannot fill those gaps as we need it to. So, Jerry, I wish you well with this exciting venture. You know, if we can have more conversation as how this goes, that would be great. And I look forward to hearing more.
All right. Well, thank you, Kate.